Welcome to the weekly. I'm Jeremy. And this week there's no Chris. So another solo cast, but this is due to holidays. So Chris is enjoying the New Year holiday with family. And I'll just run down a few of the headlines we had at the very end of the year. And then we'll be back next week, probably for a best of 2021, if there was such a thing. So maybe the worst of, I don't know anymore. It's hard to feel anything. 1 year is just bleeding into another. So this week on the weekly, Dark Souls tabletop RPG, a free 5e adventure by Wizards of the Coast, Miniature Market bought by Asmodee before the Embrace, and an interesting change in the Giant Lands credits on the actual published books. So let's get started with Steamforged. So Steamforged Games is producing a tabletop RPG for Dark Souls. So they previously did the board game, a really well-produced board game that emulated on the tabletop pretty accurately the experience of the video game. So Dark Souls has had 3 installments. So I guess that would mean it has enough lore for a tabletop RPG. But I'm really curious if that's enough for players that are used to really deep, rich worlds. I've seen people do lore videos for Dark Souls on YouTube, so there may be enough there, but it also may be a little difficult to figure out how you would role play some of these more generic types of characters. Hopefully they've got answers to that, because basically the fight, die, repeat gameplay in the video games, it might be interesting, especially if you can keep returning. So if you expect to die in an RPG, but there's a mechanic where you come back, that may be quite interesting. We'll have to see. And I'm not sure. I don't think they have anything as far as a quick start or any preview yet. So, they're really good. They're really good at doing Kickstarters as well. So we'll see if this is actually headed there, or if, because they have the license, they're just going to produce this directly. So they did produce previously, they do have some experience with RPGs. They did the Epic Encounters. So those were 5e D&D adventures with miniatures, kind of a little strategic board for miniature adventures for 5e. And those looked nice. Those were well produced. So they do have experience with tabletop rules and the 5e system. So we'll see what they actually come up with as far as a whole world and system, and what they're going to use. I wonder if it's just going to be 5e, because they already have that experience. I'm not sure the 5e rule set would make a satisfying Dark Souls game, but we will find out. We'll find out in the new year. And I think there'll be a lot of interest in this. I think there's still that whole setting and that series of games is still really popular. So we'll be looking at a popular Kickstarter if they decide to crowdfund it, or keep our eyes open for the updates. And I'd really like to see kind of how they're going to do a rule set. It would be great if they just stuck with something simple like a D6, again, similar to the board game, just doing D6s and something a little more rules light and story based. But I guess combat is such a big part of it, maybe they don't want to do that. So we'll have to see. I guess the combat in 5e would work, but I'm just worried about the classes and the role play for the rest of it. We'll have to see. So I'm sure there'll be more to this, and it's a good studio, so we know the materials are going to look great, and hopefully it'll be a nice solid rule set. So lots of questions, but still, that's pretty exciting. That's a pretty exciting news. And if they really, especially working with the, if they get materials from the studio, from the license, then they'll have a lot to work with as far as fleshing out that world and a lot of kind of interesting mechanics and things that will work. So we'll find out if you can, how many times you can actually die in a single RPG session. All right. And Wizards of the Coast had a little treat for us at the end of the year. They released what they called an abridged version, and also kind of a preview. It was called both of those things, of their Dragon of Icespire Peak. So this was previously included in the Essentials kit as their full adventure, and it kind of revolves around gnomes, helping gnomes deal with a young white dragon. And I think for a starting adventure, that's pretty good. You know, you don't often get to deal with a dragon as a first level player, but hopefully all will go well. I'll put a link to the source for this. It's the D&D, freebie page. So you can download both the abridged adventure, which I believe is only about 16 pages. And then they also include pre-generated characters. And I don't think these were included anywhere before. I think because the Essentials kit had everything you needed to actually create characters. So the starter set and the Essentials kit were a really nice combination because you could play the Mines of Phandelver, but with characters that you rolled up. And so that was a nice combination. So we'll see what interest that, it's really aimed at people that have very little experience with D&D 5e, and maybe they want to try this for the first time. Because the adventure itself walks the DM through everything that you'd be paying attention to, and kind of builds on the mechanics. You slowly kind of deal with combat and different skill checks and things. And if you're playing a pre-gen character, then you can kind of learn how different classes and things work without having to be choosing things that you don't really know much about. But yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. But it's good. It's good they take advantage of this introductory material, because I think everybody has purchased the Essentials set that would be interested in that as a physical product. And now it's being offered as a free download PDF. So they took a little bit of the kind of lore and setting out of it. It's stripped down to just the adventure and, some of the tips. But I think it's a good place to start. And the other thing that they do really well is using the kind of Sword Coast as your starting point for adventures. So there's also a page or a little bit of an entry about where to go from here. So if you do get players interested in this, this is a great jumping off point. It's got a lot of hooks to other adventures and things you can carry them into any of the pre-published adventures or something of your own, an adventure of your own based on this, and they give you some kind of guidance about a good way to move away after this adventure. So we'll take a look. We'll take a look at that, the PDFs in the live stream. So if you're listening to only the podcast, take a look at our YouTube channel, Upturned Table, and I'll go through the PDFs, and we'll take a look and see what you actually get, and see how much information is there, and kind of we'll figure out what they removed. All right. And we got a little piece of interesting information from Rob from the Osaka Adventurers Union, our faithful DM. And I guess this would classify as another episode of, wait for it, As the Gygax Turns. So join us now for another update on the melodramatic and ever eventful saga of the heirs to the Gygax throne and legacy. So, Rob, who does do his own podcast? I'll put a link to his GM Ronin podcast. It's really interesting, and he kind of goes through everything that he's experiencing with running games and, flavor of various, old school systems. And, you should definitely listen to that. So I'll put a link to Rob's podcast, but he pointed out in the Osaka Adventures Union, Facebook group that there was a change to the credits. Oh, and actually I can do a little bit of a visual here, a change to the actual credits of the Giantlands. So first let's get Giantlands up here. All right. So let me switch us over here. So sorry for the audio listeners. This will be a little bit of a visual thing, but it'll confirm our deepest fears. So here we have the Giant Lands. So James M. Ward and Stephen E. Dinehart are credited as creators, and with Ernest Gary Gygax Jr. And so here is the cover that we saw at the beginning, before all of this drama started happening. And this is even back before when they were still using the TSR mark for everything. So science fantasy role-playing game, playable with pen, paper, and dice. So, right. So, it's 2021. So I guess they anticipated that's when they were going to be published. So yeah, they had a little bit of a Kickstarter for this, and this happened during the whole kind of controversy. And the other thing, I guess I'm going to have to do this the ugly way. There we go. And so this was what Rob showed the group. So here we have, I guess, the three booklets, the volumes, the Keeper's Guide, the Fifth Age Index, and the Spirit Guide for Giantland. So these are the published versions with the updated Wonderfield logo there. So we no longer see TSR. But an interesting change is you've got James M. Ward and Stephen E. Dinehart with Gary Gygax Jr. So the Ernie no longer visible, and we're going with Gary Gygax Jr. So yeah, that's an interesting change, and it's I think if they're going to keep promoting that, that's going to mean that we're going to get more I don't know we're going to get more tangled up with people that are claiming certain things. But I think this is just a move towards legitimacy, you know, as the I'm the chosen son. I don't know, I'm the one that can put their stamp of approval on anything that is going to carry their father's name. So I don't know, it continues. And so I'm so glad we have that graphic now, because we'll be, I'm sure, getting plenty of use out of that. And thanks again, Matt, for making that for us. So yeah, so Gary Gygax Jr. now is going to be involved with future projects here. And so I guess, I don't know, how does that make people feel about Giantlands? Does that make it any more legitimate? Does that raise more questions about what they're trying to do in the future? And at least, you know, now they're not going to be using the TSR mark for that. And how is, you know, James M. Ward feeling about this? I'm sure, you know, there was some, when there was all of the nonsense going on with TSR 3 earlier this year. Yeah, he didn't seem to be happy that with the association of Giantlands and that whole mess. But we will be back for, I'm sure, another of many installments of As the Gygax Turns. So an interesting development in publishing credits. So we'll see what happens there. And lastly, there was another little piece of information, or just an interesting kind of combination of things. So we talked about in previous podcasts, the Embracer Group has purchased Asmodee. So Asmodee had already acquired Fantasy Flight and several other game makers. They're based in France, and the Embracer Group, based in Sweden, now owns them. And I was a little bit off on my purchase price. The purchase price was almost $3 billion US, like 279 or something, 2.79 billion. So a huge price. But I think part of that large price was also because prior to the purchase earlier in 2021, Asmodee did purchase Miniature Market. So Miniature Market is one of the larger discount board game RPG. I think they do magic cards and just about, yeah, everything. So tabletop RPGs, board games, miniatures, collectibles, a pretty wide variety of things, and they do ship internationally when I order things from them here. And I think that's the only reason I really know much about them, is because they're one of the few discount tabletop retailers that ships easily to Japan, although their shipping has been really chaotic. Sometimes it's cheap, sometimes they're changing it, and sometimes it takes more than a month. So a little bit unpredictable on this end, but we'll see what happens because Asmodee purchased them in 2021, and then Embracer Group announced that they had purchased Asmodee. So in a presentation, they had previously talked about... So when we take a new studio on board, so this is basically Asmodee talking about the purchase of Miniature Market and what this meant. When we take a new studio on board as a third-party publisher that we distribute, it's a great platform for further acquisition. We test the performance and we develop a strong relationship with the studio team. And over the years, when the time is right and we think it's time for us and the studio, we propose them to join our family because we know the team very well. And and their performance, 100% of the acquisitions we make are basically growing since the inception date. That's super important in the context of understanding the Asmodee model. So basically they were talking at this time that they were not only going to be a distributor, publisher, but also retailer. So the announcement after the Asmodee purchase Miniature Market is they would carry all Asmodee games at full retail price. So that pretty decent discount that Miniature Market used to offer, and that was the big thing that compelled a lot of people to shop with them, you know, plus international shipping, was kind of eliminated. But they were talking about this in terms of kind of a Steam model of producing games, like using the PC game model of Steam, so that they're producing, you know, publishing and selling. So, yeah, so that's what Embracer Group bought. So I don't know. What does all this mean? Yeah, we're still yet to see. I mean, people have already complained after the acquisition of Fantasy Flight games by Asmodee that they reduce the staff, reduce their production. Fantasy Flight is a shell of what they used to be. They're producing much less. And, you know, that may be, we don't quite know if that's just a symptom of the times that we're in, where physical production there's a lot of interference going on if you're producing stuff in China and shipping globally, or if that was just Asmodee's plan to kind of downsize and make them a little more profitable or a little more manageable. So yeah, Asmodee was previously talking about being the Steam platform of board gaming. And now that they're owned by the Embracer Group. So a crazy, crazy statistic with Embracer Group. So they are comprised of 17 publishers, 82 studios, and then mostly we're talking about video games. And so that means in the pipeline for the foreseeable future, I guess until March 2026, that means they have 25 AAA video games in the pipeline for production. That's crazy. Only two of those, which have been postponed due to like current circumstances and, you know, people having to remote work and things. But yeah, that's pretty impressive. And I'm sure now that they're getting into owning retailers, you know, discounters and online retailers, and a board game, tabletop and board game distributor as well, it's getting interesting. They're yeah, moving into a lot of new areas, and I hope they know what they're doing. I hope it doesn't actually start to alienate and ruin some of our favorite tabletop properties, just because that, you know, they're going to be looking for synergy with video games or whatever. And the next thing we're going to have to be expecting them to do is be investing in some other entertainment, television or something, so they can, you know, move these properties through things. Although one of the things that we had talked about before, so if they purchased, we saw Dark Horse Comics was embraced, the last we knew, by the Embracer Group. But as far as, like, I think most licenses, so the IP, the licenses for different IPs that Dark Horse has would be specifically for producing comics. So, you know, these things really aren't very portable, although it probably does, you know, give you a little bit of advantage to getting access to other IP, other things, other medium for the same IP licenses. If you're already doing, if you're already working with them for comics, then you might be able to be a little bit more influential in getting an IP license for video games. And so that may be the thing that they're doing. But as far as I know, you know, when you have a license for a specific thing, it's to produce, you know, from a certain, even maybe a portion of an IP to produce, you know, based on these movies. Because we saw, I believe, the Terminator tabletop RPG was basically an IP that was the first movie and the comic books, you know, the comics that I think Dark Horse, of all things, had produced. So their IP was limited to, so it wasn't any of the sequel movies or anything that came later. So it was basically the War with the Machines and the first Terminator movie. And so you have limitations to IP licenses like that. So when they acquire Dark Horse, that doesn't mean, you know, instantly they're producing Star Wars, you know, Star Wars board games or whatever, but I'm sure that helps. That gives them a little bit more influence with the licensee to expand into those things. So we're going to see. I don't know. A lot of people have said in the comments, you know, the more you see one big, you know, asset management company swallow things up, the worse you can kind of imagine things are going to run. I mean, hopefully it's going to mean that all of these groups, and they've even stated, like, the people that were running it, like the structure, the management structure is going to stay in place. It's not going to mean anybody's hired or fired yet. You know, we'll see. But hopefully that means they'll just have access to more resources and bigger markets and bigger distribution. So that's the thing we can hope for. But odds are, you know, as we saw with Asmodee and Fantasy Flight, it also can mean that they strip you down to just running bare bones and at the most profitable that you can. So I don't know. The future of tabletop and everything, because it's swallowing up everything, it's looking interesting, but we won't know until the dust settles. And we'll see how they handle all of the video game studios and the release of the title. So if they do start to have trouble, or we start to hear the kind of labor abuse and things that we've heard about with the excessive crunch with schedules and things for these AAA games, then, you know, they may not be impressing anyone with their management abilities. So that should be something interesting to see. So at least next year we'll have a... and I completely forgot. I had a little bit of a graphic. So in the future, anytime we're talking about Embracer Group, and of course, I apologize again for the audio listeners, we'll have a little bit of of Lovecraftian graphics. So I tried to find something that was evocative of something being grabbed by an elder god and darkly, lovingly embraced, but this is all I could come up with so far. But so the future, any mention of the Embracer Group hopefully will be accompanied by some eldritch tentacles. And that's not a comment on anything particular. All right. So that's everything I had to kind of wrap up 2021. So take a look at the live stream, which we archive on both YouTube and Twitch, and I'm going to take a quick look through after we end the podcast at the materials that were provided, the abridged version, basically, of the Ice Spire Peak adventure. And we'll see what they actually did and what they're giving away for free, and kind of, if you buy the physical product, what you would actually what you're actually missing in comparison. But thank you for joining me for this last episode of 2021. So catch up with everything that Chris is doing on Chris's social media with Hivemind. So I'm not going to be able to spell this. So Hivemind with Y's instead of I's on social media, as well as itch.io. And I'll put links to everything in the description so you can find that. And I do a single panel gag cartoon, which I live stream on Monday evenings, North American time, like Tuesday afternoon, if you're in the other side of the world, in Asia, Australia time zone. And that's on both Twitch and YouTube. And it's just the drawing of the cartoon. And I bring some little things from Japanese convenience stores that I thought were funny and people would enjoy seeing, stuff that may not, you know, make it into import shops or anything. So, yeah, that's a weekly thing, and that's Abuse Cartoons. And if you want to read the cartoon, the archive of almost 20 years of that cartoon is available at gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And this whole thing, this podcast and YouTube channel and all the content that we produce is available at upturntable.com. We're on all social media at Upturned Table. And this podcast is archived as a live stream on both YouTube and Twitch. And you can also support us by becoming a weakling at patreon.com/upturntable. And we also do a series of fiction, Mutant Chronicles based fiction. So all the little fiction pieces in the Warzone and Mutant Chronicles RPG books we've done as radio dramas, basically, like audio fiction with sound effects and like full kind of cinematic score. And those are available to both YouTube members and Patreon subscribers at every level. So please consider becoming a patron to see those, or click the join button below this video to become a member on YouTube and have access to their video versions. They're basically the graphic for the audio. And if you're a patron, then you have access to the Patreon RSS. So that RSS feed you can just put into any podcast player and hear everything that we upload as audio, including this podcast. So that will do it for 2021, another year in the bag. So we will be back again next week, and Chris and I will lament the good and bad. Yeah, there were some good things, some 3D printing and some good things that came out of 2021. So we'll kind of go over a lot of the things that we liked about that year, about the previous year. I guess we're still in it. And we'll be back again next week. So thank you for joining us, and see you in 2022. Goodbye.